Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. We're getting a fresh start on the week. And I'm in the studio in Lake Forest with Mylon Yurkovich and Chris Williams. Hi, guys.
Yes, hey. Good to be here.
So three amigos. We love getting to be together, love helping people. And if you need some help, we've got a phone number for you. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we have a lot of phone calls lined up here. And so I'm just going to jump right in and go to the first call right off the bat on line 5. I've got Ray calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. WRJZ is the station. Ray, how are you?
Doing well today. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. How could we help you? What's going on?
Just a quick shout to you there. I really appreciate your ministry and pray for you and continued success.
Thank you, Ray.
My wife passed away back in Memorial Day weekend of 2016.
Okay,
and
sorry.
We had her 26 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I never thought I would ever get involved with anybody again, but in the last couple of months, I found myself dating somebody and really, really like this person. Have a great deal of admiration for her. She's raising two grandchildren. One's 4 and one's 7. They have lots of anger issues. Her daughter is in addiction, and she is just taking on this mantle, and I just really admire her for that. And she works very hard. She does all she can to provide and keep a roof and over their head and food on the table. And I found myself just, you know, falling deeper and deeper with her. And,
yeah.
And the feelings are reciprocated. And I just, you know, wanted some advice going forward with this. I'm reluctant I'm leery of getting married again ever. Never thought that I would.
Yeah.
And, of course, never thought I'd be involved with anybody either. But just wanting some instruction on how to go forward with this.
You have kids, Ray? And,
well, my wife and I had her son. He was my stepson. And that was a rough journey for a while. We went through a few years of counseling, kind of went through a dark period back in the 90s, and we came out the other end much better, a marriage much strengthened and a greater understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess part of me is leery to have to go through any of those kind of challenges again.
Yeah. What do the grandchildren think of you? How does that work play out?
I think they really, I'm told that they really like me, and they seem to really like me. There's a lot of affection,
mm-hmm.
and I really like them. I want to serve God's purpose in my life, whatever that is, and I know that our lives are not about us. It's
yeah.
about others.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, though. You're the only one you've got much control over, you know. And so
right.
Here's what I'm going to challenge Chris and Mylon to do at the break. And I don't know what they want to do, but I'm just going to ask them to. And I'm going to ask them to help you pinpoint 2 or 3 red flags that are, you know, just things to look at that might indicate this isn't maybe the right way to go. And a couple of things that would say, hey, you know, when these fall in line, here is a way to go. Okay? So we'll do that right after this, because, man, I just think people that are, you know, they're a widow or a widower or you're after a divorce, you need some folks to say, look for this, don't ignore this, can really be invaluable for all who are struggling with, do I move forward? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we'll come back. We'll finish up with Ray right after this. Glad you're with us today.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., September 8th through the 10th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking to Ray, and Ray was 26 years married, wife died. Now, a little over a year later, having some feelings here, doesn't know where this should play out. And I've challenged Chris and Mylon. What are the red flags? What are some go points? Mylon, start with you. What are you thinking here?
You know, Ray, I thank you for praying for us, and thank you for believing in our ministry. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. You know, there's this fabulous passage in the Bible where Jesus is talking. He says, you know, what man among you doesn't go out and calculate the cost of building a tower and building something first? Lest he get halfway through a project and it be uncompleted, and then people walk by and go, you know, it's too bad. Somebody didn't really calculate what they were doing well.
Yeah.
And so the idea of good forethought is really important. And, you know, it's you're really falling in love with, and you have to ask yourself, I like this woman, but am I willing to take on her entire, all that she represents? She has a daughter with drug addiction. She is raising two grandkids by default. It's not by choice. It's by default she's raising two grandkids. And am I willing to take on all of her problems? Am I willing to take on her entire life experience? Because guess what? It's going to be a rewind of what you went through before with the stepson and needing to really process and work your lives together. Falling in love right now, you don't feel that. But later on, that's going to be a part of the story. Now, that doesn't mean it's not a good decision down the road. All I'm simply saying is you have to be willing to take on the whole, as we say here in California, the whole enchilada. It's the whole deal.
Can I ask you?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What do you mean by default? Because, I mean, certainly she, one of the things that I admire about her is the fact that she's chosen. I'm thinking she's chosen to take these grandkids on.
Of course she did.
She didn't have to.
Well, then why? Who is not parenting them? Somebody's not parenting those children. What?
Right.
That's what I mean by
obviously.
Well, she took it on, and I love her heart and I love her spirit. But the daughter is not functioning well. So now you have a stepdaughter that's not functioning well in life, and guess what? She's probably going to continue to not function well. And you're going to have these two grandchildren that are dealing with a dysfunctional mom. And so I'm simply saying that has to be a part of your choice. You're choosing that part of your bride as well, should you choose to marry her.
Right.
Yeah, Ray, I want to take this in a little bit different direction, going on what to look for. But I think there's some work that you need to do first. And this is I'm hearing the pain and the loss and the unimaginable loss of losing your wife of 26 years. I just can't imagine. Mm-hmm. And the void that was left and that has been left for the last year and a half. And that is the rug has been completely pulled out under your feet. And now you're trying to get your footing back. And oftentimes what happens is, yeah, a partner, a woman can come and fill that space. But what is missing in your call and what you're telling us today is a vision for your life. And so you're going to adopt someone else's life and adopt someone else's vision, but there's actually an opportunity in your life right now that I think is critically important. And that is you're looking at a future of somewhat of a blank slate in that you can create the life that God is calling you to. And what I would want is first for you to get a vision of for what you what is in your heart, what you want your life to look like, what you want your life to be lived like. And then someone gets to come alongside and partner with you because you're both heading in the same direction. Because in this situation, if your life is about raising these two grandchildren, then yes, proceed. But if you're not convinced that that is what your life is about, I would really do the heart work in creating the vision that you have for your life.
Now, Ray, here's a really, really big caution, and I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but just kind of a throwaway. You said, "I know it's not supposed to be about us; it's supposed to be about others." Right? You remember saying something kind of like that?
My life's not about me. My life's about others.
Okay.
It's about Christ.
All right. So here's where that can really get you in trouble. You're involved with this woman, and so now you may tell yourself, "Yeah, I'm obligated here. I need to help this person. I need to marry her. I've gotten involved. This isn't about what I want. This needs to be about what she wants." People get trapped into relationships with that kind of thinking. They justify the pain and the discomfort they have and the unease because they feel like they have, quote unquote, a moral obligation to continue to go down this path. And you don't. Now, so I just want you to know that when it comes to marriage, you can't go into marriage thinking, well, this isn't about me. This is about the other person. And this other person really needs me. So I need to just go ahead and marry this person. No, no. You would be better off to work up a prenuptial. I'm just going to pay you $2,000 a month for the rest of your life because I care about you and support you, but I'm not going to marry you. And then the second thing I want to say to you is it's too soon for you to be thinking about marrying anybody. Men.
Oh, no, we haven't talked about we haven't talked about marriage. I hope I hadn't conveyed that. I apologize. I was just saying my feelings are getting deeper with her, but we haven't by no means talked about marriage.
But but when feelings get deeper, they end up getting you married to somebody. And you've got to have somebody. Well, there's this verse that says, "Hold back those staggering toward the slaughter." Now, I'm not saying marrying her is you get slaughtered, but I'm saying you need some restraint. You need a man, I'd say a male counselor, on a weekly basis to help you kind of walk through this. Or you're going to find yourself opening the floodgates to feelings, and 6 months from now, you end up married, and it's way too soon even then. So you are a man after God's own heart. I believe that about you. I appreciate that about you. And I don't want to see you marry her or anybody other than the fact that this is the path. Just like Chris was saying, it's the path that God has called you to. Mm-hmm. And Mylon's advice about, you know, you really need to look at what you're taking on here as you get involved deeper and deeper. This is the time to do it. How many people do we know, they don't decide to get married, they slide into getting married?
That's a great...
Yeah. And that's what we want to prevent. So you prevent that right now. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. But we need your help too. And we've got a special, special thank you offer. If you can support us with a gift of $50 or more, we are going to do the thank you dance around here because it's August and it's tough and we got to finish up this month. And so we'll send you 5 different publications that we put together. They're 5 different little books on narcissism, forgiveness, grief, anger, and fear. Some really tough things. These are answers. And then my mom's travel mug, we're going to throw it ceramic. It's amazing. And it encourages you to face the 3 realities of life. Our way of saying thank you. Now, a gift of any amount, and we'll send you this CD we put together with Dave and I talking about Take Your Life Back, teachings that we did for New Life Television. And when you join Club New Life, that's another way to support us. It's the foundation of all we do. We'll send Take Your Life Back day by day. Supporting us supports the transformation of lives, supports the truth being told when sometimes it's the most difficult thing to hear.
Steve, right. Steve, what does the happy dance look like?
The happy dance at New Life. I will try to reenact the happy dance, the New Life happy dance, and we'll put that up on our website. So at newlife.com. It's coming soon to a website near you.
I can't wait to see that.
I'm a white boy and I don't dance well. Yes. So that's when I say a happy dance, I just want to know what it looks like. And
well, it hopefully you'll see it and it'll make you happy. All right, let's go to Krista from Conroe, Texas. Hey, Krista, how are you? Listening on our app, and we do have an app. Hi, Krista.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's going on with you today? Yeah, what's going on, Krista?
It's my day off, so that's always a positive.
Okay. So what? Tell us about your situation.
So you called us because you're bored.
No.
Oh, okay. I just was curious then.
Not at all.
Okay.
I guess my question is, I'm coming up on a third anniversary of my husband of 14 years had an affair 3 years ago.
Okay.
I did not find out about the affair until a year later. Mm. So for me, it's only 2 years.
Yep.
For him, it's 3 years. But it gets complicated because during he had the affair for 3 months from, September to December. And as you know, we're coming up on September now. During that 3 months, while he was doing his thing, I was taking care of my ill mother, and she was living with us. She had pancreatic cancer and she died in December. Now, I personally believe that the affair actually ended when my mother died. And it started pretty much when she moved into the house for me to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer to why he had the affair was simply because we weren't. Because I was otherwise engaged. Now, we're coming up on this 3 years. Now, my anniversary also falls in September. So not only did he have an affair, but he had an affair while my mother died, who was my best friend, and he did it over our anniversary. And I already struggle with some depression and anxiety, and having this next few months come up, I'm just really feeling some effects from it.
Yeah. Okay, so ask us the question then, because I think we get it.
What do I do? I mean, how do I heal? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still with him. You know, I made the commitment. I don't want our child to have a broken home. And honestly, what I told him was, I'm still here because I feel like I deserve this. I put in the work. I didn't screw this up. I shouldn't lose everything.
That's correct. It's quite troubling to me that when you talked about this, that he said, well, the reason was you weren't available. You weren't there for me. Versus him being able to identify a little character defect that he had, that when he doesn't get what he wants, he does what he wants, including betraying you. So you want to heal. Have you done anything so far to help you heal?
You know, it has been so sad. Right after it happened, not long after it happened, after I found out that it happened a year later, I went to our pastor on a marriage retreat that we go on every year. I went to the pastor and I just broke and I told him we needed help. I didn't know what to do. And he counseled us, I think, twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back the third time and said, I'm just not qualified to help you.
Okay, so what'd you do then?
And that was the end of it.
Okay, so you haven't done anything on your own to to do some meeting. Well, Chris, let's start with you, buddy. What should she be doing in this situation?
Well, marriage counseling in the wake of infidelity is like a non-negotiable in my book. I mean, it absolutely has to happen because there is – one, there's a fundamental break of trust in the marriage. And if there's a – if trust is broken at that level – then it has to be repaired, but it has to be repaired in an intentional way. And Krista, for you as well, I mean, you've gone through a lot of loss throughout this process. So you say your mom was your best friend. There's more things to explore there. There's a lot of things to explore here, and I would encourage you to really get into a counselor to explore the issues of grief and loss and betrayal, but also an intentional process to repair the marriage.
Now, at the break, I want you to hold on. At the break, we're going to put together three really important things for you to do. One, two, three. In addition to that, getting that counseling, which I think that would help you grieve this loss and be able to move on. So we'll try to put that list together for you at the break. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You got a problem? We've got some answers, some hope, some solutions at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we're just having a little discussion here. And I hope and pray that it's going to result in something really good for Krista in Conroe, Texas. Now, Milan, let's start with you. We kind of said we'd do a 1-2-3 here. But what do you think would be important for her in the healing and dealing with the reality of an affair?
Well, I would have to ask you, Krista, to redefine or really look at what the word heal means. Because I don't know that we can ever fully heal from such an egregious sin.
Amen.
To our marriage.
Amen.
Every anniversary, we're going to cry
yep.
again.
Yep.
And a lot of it's like I have some friends that recently lost a 20-year-old son. And they will grieve for the rest of their lives about the loss of their son. They will never stop. And every anniversary, every birthday, every Christmas, it's going to be addressed. And it has to. And so when you use the word heal, I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to say healing can mean I can better adjust. Healing can mean that I can understand things better or that my husband and I are at a different place. And that's where I think healing needs to focus. But the actual, if healing means to escape the feelings from being betrayed, I'm not sure that's fully possible. I think it fades with time only if good work has been done.
So you're kind of saying one thing is to reset her expectation.
Absolutely.
It's not going to go away, which I think is good. The thing that I would add, well, first of all, how did you find out about the affair?
The woman's husband messaged me on Facebook.
Oh, boy. Okay, so what has your husband done to win back your heart?
Nothing that he didn't do before. He's always been very loving, very attentive, you know, very touchy-feely, just made me feel like a princess all the time. And this is one of the things why I feel like it's such a betrayal to me. Not that it wouldn't have been without this. But
Let me say this. Sometimes men that treat a woman like a princess kind of objectify versus have a personal, intimate relationship with them. And so here's what I would be asking him to do is, look, I don't think this is going to get better until you get some kind of help, do some kind of work that helps you understand how you can betray the princess in your life. Because I think when he goes on that journey, he's going to find out, and I think you're going to find out, that there was a lot missing there to that princess treatment that you were receiving. Looks good and feels good on the outside, but...
Steve, not only did he have a 3-month affair, he lied to her for a year before you found out.
You may have never known.
Yeah, right. you may have never known. Right. And then the question.
And that's my thing. I mean, how did you lie for so long? And how did you, how did you come in from work and kiss me just like you do every other day?
Do you know what?
Thank you.
After being
Krista, 3 years later, now 2 years later. You sound like it happened yesterday.
Yes. Yep.
And so you're going to need to get some...
It feels like that. That's why I need help. Because I don't know. You know, I mean, now, 3 years later, when we're intimate, I don't feel like I'm intimate. I feel like I'm maintaining something that I don't want to lose again.
That's what
I feel like.
Okay, so I want you to hold on. I want Chris to weigh in one more time here. Chris, anything you want to add to this? We're going to try to get you some help, Krista. But there's also this book, Surviving an Affair, that I want you to get. But you have the right to demand that he get some help with the character that led to the betraying of someone he treated like a princess. Anything, Chris?
Yeah, just what you're saying to us needs to be said to him in a counseling office.
Yeah.
And it needs to be said, if necessary, over and over and over again until he's able to hear it, receive it, and then do what Steve was talking about, the characterological work of connecting at that much deeper level, being honest, being forthright. And there is some healing to be done in the connection in the marriage. So, yeah.
So the false self, her husband's false self, showed up every day after work when he gave her the big princess kiss.
Yes.
Okay, his real self behind the scenes was doing something different. And a great marriage, there is no difference in our integrity. That is, the inside person matches the outside person.
Yeah.
And that's what we're working toward. Yes.
Well, Mylon, you said out loud what I haven't heard somebody say before, and that is, it's like what I did with Amelia and Solomon before they started school this year. I squeezed out this tube of goop, and I said, okay, now put it back in. And we can't. I said, okay, that's your words. Once it's out, can't put them back in. Well, you know what? Same thing about betrayal. And she's never gonna. It's not. This relationship never goes back to normal.
Can't.
And so, given that, is it too much to ask that he make a few concessions here?
Not at all.
That he get a little bit of help. That he look at how do you treat a princess while betraying the throne. That's what he did. All right, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. It's going to help you with some grief work that can be done. It's going to help you not have to react in this pain and agony. We've also got a workshop that could help you too.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Anybody else, if you're struggling with bitterness, resentment, anger, we can help you. Might be the book, Take Your Life Back. Could be the intensive. Could be a counselor. Whatever. Let us help you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. N-E-W-L-I-F-E. 1-800. Call us, please.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Chris Williams, Milan Yurkovich. We're all here in the studio, and I'm going to go, let's go to Misty, not my wife Misty, but Misty from Sedalia, Missouri. First time caller on line four. Here we go. Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. How can we help you today? What's going on?
I lost my firstborn son in April of last year.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a single mom, and I phrase it like who I was before the accident and who I am now.
Sure.
But like who I was before, like I appreciate it every second of every day. You know, I get flat tires and just be grateful, and people be like, "Why are you so happy?" And I was like, "Well, God could have saved my life, you know, from getting in a car accident or something."
Yeah,
but that's not like who I am now.
Yeah,
but I want to go back to church for me and my other two kids' sake. But when I try to go, I mean, I hear what they're saying, and then some of the things that they preach about, not angry, but I just, it means different to me now.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I don't absorb it as much.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm not being a really good mom. Mm. You know, I never used to cuss before, and I've said bad words, and, you know, I used to love every second I'd play with my kids, and now it's like I have to force myself, you know, not bad and not all the time. But
yeah, right. Is there a question that you have for us other than what do I do now, or is there something other?
No. I mean, I know, like, I really want to go back to church. Like, I don't know if there's a better step for me to get in, or if you guys could tell me something that will, you know.
Well, Misty, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to start with Mylan here. But I think you're right on schedule. Mm-hmm. It's been less than a year.
Just over a year.
I mean, just over a year. And I think this has to be the most devastating thing that parents ever deal with. And you're probably, as far as the grieving process, the anger, the bitterness, the ability to pick up on superficial, simplistic, hyper-religiosity, unbelievable. It's all right there. You're on schedule. But let me turn it over to Mylan on what to do in this horrible, horrible state.
Well, Misty, I am so sorry you lost your son. It would be absolutely a grievous thing to hear, the realities, all of it is just, and then the continual reminder. He's your firstborn, and he was special. He gave you life. I can tell about the life that you felt and the excitement. And all to say that our lives are never the same after we lose someone. There is a process we go through where just the removal of that individual is a shock to our system. It shows me that you were really bonded to him, because if we're not bonded to people, there isn't much of a reaction. When we're bonded, the reaction is deeper and it lasts longer. So when Steve said you're right on track, I would agree. It's going to take time for this to loosen its grip on you, and it's going to be a challenge. I love your question. I love that you're trying. I love that you can tell us there's a problem of going to church, and I love how Steve described what you're up against. It's sort of the superficiality is hard. I have a recommendation, and that is that you would find a grief recovery group that specializes in talking about grief. A lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of churches don't know how to do that, and they just come up with Christian positive statements that don't help us. As a matter of fact, they can make us angry because they minimize and dismiss our pain. So I would recommend that you get in a grief recovery group, that you're in there every week. It's a place to process what you're going through, and our hearts go out to you.
Hmm. Yeah. And Missy, I would just add to that, and actually this is a statement I want to make for those listening out there who may have people in their life going through deep grief. One of the mistakes we make is we overestimate the power of our words and underestimate the power of our presence. Our presence will always be more powerful than our words when it comes to tremendous grief, loss, and pain.
You're absolutely right.
And so I say that for you, Misty, is that is there anyone there in your community of faith, in your church, that you feel safe and connected, who's journeyed this road with you, that I think that they're the doorway back into church, that if there's people there that you feel safe with, you sit next to them. And you kind of go shoulder to shoulder with them as they introduce you back into the life of the church.
Do you have anybody like that?
Again, who I was, they used to call me the fixer, because no matter what your problem was, I could fix it, you know. And I'm a giver, I'm not a taker, so it's hard for me to lean on other people, I guess.
Yeah, and Misty, let me jump in here. God is doing a transformative work inside of you. Don't get me wrong here. I wouldn't invite this on anyone. It's deeply painful. But being a giver oftentimes puts us in control. Being a receiver is a profound act of vulnerability. And in this place of receiving, that is your pathway of faith, is allowing other people to love you, to serve you, to care for you, and for you to be able to trust it when it shows up. And God is going to strengthen you in your inner being, as it says in a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, as you receive love.
Okay, I just can't.
And she can't fix this.
No, it's unfixable.
She's got this reputation of the fixer, and now you're faced with something you can't fix.
Yeah.
So I just can't reinforce enough that your step back into the church isn't just to go to the big auditorium and sit there with other people who don't understand what you're going through. But it's to find a Christ-centered grief group and maybe a life recovery group that focuses on grief. Give yourself some time, but work through these so you're not feeling this deep, deep hurt in the same degree in 3 years. But also accept the fact this probably is just going to be there with you. And I'm so sorry. So sorry. Let me send you one of our Spiritual Renewal Bibles. And I think there's going to be some steps in there that will help you to find the heart of God again. And when you find the heart of God, you find it understands where you are. Hmm. He created you with those feelings and those emotions, and He understands. Anybody else, if you need some help for whatever, if you're struggling, oh my goodness, can we ever help you? But you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Rich. Rich is calling us. He listens on KWRD in Dallas, Texas. We have several calls from there. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help today?
Well, my question is, my folks are retired, and they've recently kind of taken a little bit of time, and they've kind of drafted a little booklet about their lives. I guess you could call it a memoir, but that's, you know, probably overstating it. It's just kind of it's got interesting little stories from their lives, how they came to faith, and their scripture. There's the gospel that's woven in here and there. But the reason I'm calling is that our family is a former missionary family. I grew up on the mission field.
Okay.
And so there's lots of stories in there about the mission field and stuff. And there's a lot of great things about growing up on the mission field. But one of the things that was really hard was I was sexually abused when I was about, 10 or 11 years old. And I never told anybody about it. I didn't tell my folks or anybody until later, much later. I was well into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some stuff that I've been dealing with, and it's been really hard. And anyway, they sent a draft of this kind of little memoir thing. And in reading it, there's certain points where they just kind of highlight, and it was great raising the kids on the mission field and the positive parts about it, but it kind of paints a rosy picture, if you will. And I'm just trying to process how to, in a healthy way, process it myself and possibly talk to my folks about it.
Yeah.
I have had conversations. This is a pattern in my family, by the way, where things get swept under the rug, mm-hmm. the elephant's in the
All
room.
Right. Hold on. We're going to help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We're glad that you are.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 22nd to the 24th.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Chris Williams. And we're talking with Rich. And Rich, this is just kind of a superficial question here, but any idea why your parents would have a need to totally ignore, in a memoir like this, the price that the children pay when parents go on the mission field, especially knowing you were abused?
They didn't know.
Well, they know now.
No, they don't.
They still don't know?
Yeah, they do.
They do know.
Oh, they
yeah,
do.
No,
they do. I'm sorry.
You said that.
From them initially. And then kind of in my mid-20s, I did finally, you know, share with them.
So they send you a manuscript, and, you know, essentially the manuscript ignores the pain that you went through.
Yes.
Why would they do that? Any idea? I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous question.
No, it's a good question, and that's part of what I really wrestle with. And on the one hand, I wrestle with my tendency to defend my parents, and I want to, you know, and there's a lot of great aspects to my parents.
Well, sure.
But this is an aspect that even after having shared it, there's been times where I felt like they have not really gone really alongside with me on it, and they've just kind of acknowledged it but not gone very deep with
so,
it.
So here's
this
my
is an example of that.
Here's what I would ask. Why not call them and say, okay, the manuscript, read it. Why did you guys feel the need to ignore the painful reality that I went through and that all kids of missionaries go through to some degree or another? What would happen if you just asked them that question?
I think that's a good question to ask. And I've had, I guess I'm open to having that conversation with them. I don't know. I feel like I've gone there in the past, and when I do bring it up, they acknowledge, yeah, that was really painful and hard, and we're so sorry. But
well, I would also
again.
I'm just going to get some input from Mylon, and I first, and then we'll go to Chris. But I would ask that question, and then I would say I would really appreciate it if you included what I went through in this. Mylon, thoughts? Then Chris?
Well, one of the problems is that you have told them this, and then what you just said a moment ago is very important. They'll say, you know, we're so sorry, and then they drop it right there. And they don't go into the further questioning of what's been your journey, Rich, and how has this stayed with you, and how has it troubled you? They view it as an issue of the past. And for you, I can tell it's an issue that is still in the present for you.
It's unresolved.
There's still an effect upon that. And so really, I'm going to say something here. You may love them, and they may have served in the kingdom, but they do not sound like safe people. They're not safe if you can't go to them and process with them. And so one of the frustrations I have, you know, we all have in life is I've got to decide who are my safe people. I have to decide who can I go and who will really listen to me, who gets me, who can understand me, who can I be honest with, and they can pick me up where I'm sharing. See, I could tell Steve anything, I could tell Chris anything, and they would be able to be with me right where I am.
Yeah, it's true.
If I'm in a place of pain. Your parents can't, and a lot of people in the Christian ministry are like that. They think everything's past tense, all sins forgiven, it's over, and they don't know how to deal with present pain that's continuing. And so you may need to decide, what will I ever get from them? And maybe I'll never get anything from them, but maybe you need to have one more talk like Steve suggested, and then you're going to have to decide, what will these people be to me the rest of my life?
Chris, final word here?
Yeah, I would just say, Rich, for you, I think that you also need to understand how this horrific incident and the impact of growing up on the mission field fits into your story.
Yeah.
The stories are not matching up, and there's a pain in that. There's a disconnection in that. And your parents' story does not have to be your story, and your story doesn't have to be theirs. They're set on theirs, it sounds like. And so
– yeah.
But that doesn't mean that that's true for you.
Yeah. All right. Now, one final thing, and that is, in all of this, I really think your mission is to lower your expectations of your parents. You resolve it within you. You grieve this loss, this hurt, this pain, so that you're not dealing with it every single day. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think that'll be an amazing book for you. It's going to help you not react to this rest of your life. And I'll even recommend, let's look into the workshop. It's on September the 8th. It's coming right up in D.C. That could change so much for you. Now, we don't talk about our workshops a lot the way we used to, but I want you to hear this. Lives are changed, and we've got Every Man's Battle coming up on the 8th in Denver. And the same weekend in D.C. is Take Your Life Back. And so if you're struggling with sexual integrity or someone you love, there it is, Every Man's Battle. Or if you're struggling with despair or depression, or you're just disconnected from life or God or other people, or maybe the anxiety is just overwhelming, Take Your Life Back is there. And Mylon and I will be doing Intimacy and Marriage on September the 22nd. That's in Dallas. And Restore, It's Hope for a Woman's Heart, November the 10th. In Washington, D.C. All of that for you. You have to call us if we're going to help you. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you call us, we can recommend a book or a workshop, a counselor in your area. We'll find what you need. That's what we're committed to do. You just call us, whatever it is. It could be a habit, an addiction, a deficit, a defect. We want to be there for you. Now, this ministry is dedicated and committed to transformation. That's why we started it 1988 for transformation. We haven't deviated one bit. If you could help us, if you could support us supporting others, maybe it's a scholarship or support of somebody going through one of the intensives. Maybe it's just getting to be part of Club New Life or a one-time gift to help us in August. We have all sorts of different ways to say thank you for that, and we are so grateful when you do. But we need your support. We're not a ministry that wants people to feel better. That's not our goal, is feeling better today. But it's so that you're feeling really good about yourself in maybe 6 months or 3 months. It's not about some quick fix or instant solution. It's about a plan and a process that gets you where you want to be in your relationship with God and your relationship with others. Let us help you. And help us help others. Help us reach out and find what it is that we could do. And if you can support us, you know, $50 gift. We've got 5 publications and my mother's ceramic mug, which her mug will literally change your life. Coffee stays hotter in the mug, we've discovered. And also, your friends will like you better when you're drinking out of my mother's mug. With the 3 sayings, it's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. And you never know. Have truer words ever been spoken from a mother? I don't think so. Anyway, that's our way of saying thank you for supporting New Life. Now, again, there are people there. They want to help you, but we don't know your phone number. We can't just call you and say, hey, God laid it on my heart that you're really struggling today. So you've got to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. new life. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mylan. Thanks to all of you who pray for us, who watch us, who listen. We love you. We care about you. And we're right here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You call us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.